All right, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, we'll begin there this morning. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Father, we thank you for your word. Now as we consider just a few simple thoughts about your resurrection this morning, we ask that you would bless us. Give us understanding, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we all are aware of the resurrection being Resurrection Sunday, I don't think that this is anything that we would question. I think it's proven by history, and we're not going to get into the many proofs that we have. But the fact is that the resurrection means a lot to the Christian life. And without the resurrection, you do not have Christianity. There are many today who would deny the fact of the resurrection. And as they do so, they are saying that we are not Christian. We are something else that may resemble Christianity, but it is not Christianity. The resurrection of Christ is one of the fundamentals of the faith. But when we consider what the resurrection means to you and to me as individual Christians, but the first thing we find is that the resurrection brings clarity to the person of Jesus. Look over, if you would, in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1, as God is inspiring the Apostle Paul to write the following words. He says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now notice verse number 4 in reference to the resurrection and the fact that the resurrection brings clarity to the person of Jesus Christ. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. How? By the resurrection from the dead. It's the resurrection that declared who Jesus was. He had spent the previous 3.5 years telling the world that he was the Son of God, God in the flesh, 100% man, 100% God. The world scoffed, the world questioned, the world rejected, though a few did believe it, most didn't. Most rejected it. And so when Jesus rose from the dead, part of the reason why God did that was to assure us that Jesus is everything he ever said he was. That he and the Father are one. Jesus Christ is God. You go to the writings of other great religious leaders, and there may be some value. Some people believe that there's value to these writings, such as the writings of Mary Baker Eddy, the writings of Charles Taz Russell, the writings of Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, the writings of Muhammad and Islam, even though most of his was plagiarized, same with Mormonism as well, just plagiarism. History bears that out. And you read their writings and people put great value on it. But what makes their writings different than the writings of Jesus Christ is that when you go to their tomb, you have a decomposed body. You see, they're still there. They're dead. And they can't tell us of eternity because they are not God. But when you go to the tomb of Jesus, we all know that that tomb, like none other, is empty. The resurrection brings clarity to the person of Jesus, declaring him to be God. Turn over in Romans chapter 4. Let's look at our second point as to what the resurrection means to the individual Christian life. First of all, it brings clarity to the person of Jesus. We know we worship God. The second thing we find out is that it brings confidence for our salvation. The resurrection brings confidence to us in our salvation. Verse number 25 of Romans chapter 4 tells us, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And obviously this verse is talking about Jesus Christ. And it tells us he was raised, the resurrection, for our justification. Now, many people try to remember what justification is all about by saying it's just as if I'd never sinned and trying to take that play on that word justification. But that isn't what justification is. It is not just as if we had never sinned. It's a courtroom terminology. And so picture yourself standing before a judge, and the judge is reading the sheet of offenses that you have committed, and it's a long list. And it takes a great deal of time. And I'm glad that when all this takes place before the great white throne judgment or before the judgment seat of Christ, that we have all eternity at that time because it will take it. But you're standing before the great judge and the sovereign judge and the omnipotent judge. And your offenses are listed one by one. And as each offense is listed, your heart sinks a little bit lower because you realize that you are guilty. And as he finally comes to the conclusion of the list, he looks up at you and asks how you plead, and you say, I plead guilty to all the above charges. And the judge says to you in response, now we're talking about justification. He says, now based upon your faith in my Son Jesus Christ, who died for each one of those offenses, who was raised again, I declare you on his behalf not guilty. I declare you just. That's what justification is. God realizes the sin is still there. God realizes the sin is in your life. And yet he realizes that Jesus bore it on the cross of Calvary and that he rose again from the grave, that you were then declared justified. And we can have great confidence in our salvation, because God will not remember our sins anymore. He says that numerous times in the Word of God, and what a great promise this is. And so the resurrection brings clarity to the person of Jesus Christ. It brings confidence for our salvation. Over in Romans chapter 6, we see a third thing that the resurrection does for us. Romans chapter 6, verse number 4, in the baptismal imagery here, we're just going to take verse number 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now we link this into baptism, which is exactly what God is talking about, water baptism. I know there are some today that like to say that this is talking about spirit baptism, and they couldn't be any further from the truth or any more misguided than they are. This is water baptism, baptism by immersion. And the picture just bears that out, being buried in the water and raised from the water. It's a picture of our new life in Christ. But when we put it into that context, sometimes we lose the significance of what God is trying to tell us here. He's saying that as Christ lived a new life, resurrected from the dead, so our lives should change just as dramatically. We shouldn't be what we used to be as a Christian. And so as I read this, I understand that the resurrection brings challenge to Christian living. It brings challenge to Christian living. To overcome that sin in our life, to put aside those sinful habits, to conquer that sin that does so easily beset us. But not just that, that's the negative side, but then there's also a positive side. That God says there are certain things we should bring into our Christian life. Bible reading and church attendance and prayer and witnessing and tithing and giving offerings and so many things that we summarize just in such a brief list, that there's so much more to the Christian life. And it's a challenge sometimes to root out the bad and to bring in the good. But that's exactly what we're called to do here, to live in newness of life, to walk in newness of life, to be different to be holy, to be Christ-like, to avoid worldliness, to avoid carnality, to resist the temptation that the devil will bring into our lives at every turn and twist of our path. And so the resurrection brings a challenge to Christian living. Turn over, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse number 11 with me. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. We find, fourthly, that the resurrection brings comfort at death. There's nothing sadder to be a part of as a pastor than to officiate a funeral where the people are lost. Now, I haven't done a lot of them, but I have done some. And there's nothing sadder than that, because those people realize that that is goodbye. They will never see their loved one ever again. And that's the truth. They never will. But a Christian funeral is so much different, isn't it? Even though there is sadness, there is that missing of the one who has passed on before, but there's also that assurance that one day we will be reunited. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, this is exactly what God tells us in reference to the rapture. When beginning in verse number 14 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, He says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now notice what He says about all this. In verse number 18 it says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." The resurrection brings comfort to death because it's tied into our future resurrection. If Christ did not raise Himself from the dead, then we would have no assurance that we too would raise one day. And if we're not going to raise one day, then there is no great reunion day. That's described there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And so we know that the resurrection brings a comfort at the time of death when that loved one went to be with the Savior. Because we know that we will one day be rejoined with them, and that it is not goodbye, it's merely, "I'll see you later." Turn over, if you would, now to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at a fifth thing that the resurrection means to the individual believer. It brings clarity to the person of Christ. It brings confidence for our salvation. It brings challenge to Christian living. It brings comfort at death. In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places." The resurrection brings capability to Christian service. Brings capability. None of us are capable to serve God. None of us can do anything of any eternal value except through the power that God gives us. When we wonder how much power does God give us, we look to the resurrection and realize that the same power that took that dead body that was as dead gets and raised that corpse back to life. Now that's an incredible amount of power. And God says that that same power is available to you to use to serve Him with. It's not available for us to build a kingdom. It's not available to us to make a name for ourselves. It's not available to us to amass a fortune. But that power is available to us to serve the Savior. And some of the most humble servants of God that have gone out around this world have tapped into that power, men and women that you and I have never heard of, and they've accomplished great things for our Savior. And at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to hear God proclaim to them, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And we're going to see the rewards that are going to be dispensed to those people. We're going to stand back in awe, and we're going to wonder, how did they do that? Well, the answer is right here in Ephesians chapter 1. They did it by the power of God that He makes available to each and every Christian. And so in Sunday school, we heard about the different types of soil, and that last type of soil brings forth all kinds of fruit. Some more than others, though. What's the difference? Because of the power of God in their lives and the way they tapped into it and allowed God to use them. And so the resurrection brings capability to service. So often we don't serve God because we don't feel capable. We don't feel like we can do it. We don't feel like we have the ability. We don't have the training. And we can come up with all different kinds of excuses. God says excuses don't work because none of us are dead physically. God says that's the kind of power that raised Jesus from the dead that is at our disposal. And so it brings capability to service. Turn over, if you would, to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. The resurrection brings clarity to the person of Christ, brings confidence for our salvation, brings challenge to Christian living, brings comfort at death, brings capability to service. But then lastly, the resurrection also brings courage in life. We're going to look at three different verses here in this chapter, John chapter 6, beginning with verse number 40. "And this is the will of Him that sent Me, to everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life." Notice this last phrase. "And I will raise him up at the last day." Now jump down to verse number 44. "No man can come to Me except the Father which hath sent Me draw him." Now notice the last phrase. "And I will raise him up at the last day." Now over in verse number 54, Jesus says this. "Whoso eateth My flesh and drinketh My blood hath eternal life." Notice the last phrase again, a third time in the third sermon. The third time. "I will raise him up at the last day." Now, Jesus is trying to give us courage in life no matter what we're facing, no matter what challenges are in our way, no matter what obstacle is there in your path. We can have courage because Jesus will not forget us. When the day comes, the resurrection day, He will raise us up at the last day. He won't forget us. He won't leave us behind. And what's implied in this resurrection is that He will reward us and that He does know what we're going through and that He does care and that He will provide for us in our every need. All of this is implied in that one statement that when He says, "I will raise Him up at the last day," and He says it three times. He wants us to get a hold of this. He wants us to understand this. He wants us to live a confident life and a courageous life with this truth that if He tells us to face death, we can stare it in the face with courage because we know He'll raise us up at the last day. If He asks us to go through a life of great hardship and great heartache, we can do it with courage because we know that He will raise us up at the last day. And we know that His reward will far exceed anything that we experience here on this earth. We know in the book of Romans chapter 8, Paul says that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. Not even worthy to be compared with what God has for us. And so, because of the resurrection, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead and that He will one day raise us also from the dead at the last day will bring us courage in life. And so, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this resurrection day, meditate on what the resurrection means to you. Because I could keep going and going in what the resurrection means from Scripture. But you need to determine what it means for you. Will it give you clarity as to who Jesus is? Will it give you confidence in your salvation? Will it challenge you in your Christian living to rise above where you currently are? Will it bring you comfort when death invades your sphere of loved ones? Will it encourage you or allow you to understand that you are capable to do the things God has called you to do? And will it bring that courage that you need in every day's living? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for giving us that great assurance. Father, we pray that you meet the need of every heart this morning for your honor and glory. We do pray for our nation. We pray for our president, our elected officials. Father, give them wisdom on how to proceed during these days of the coronavirus. And Father, we just pray you'd put your hand of blessing upon our nation. Bring revival through all the difficulties that we face. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.